Therapy.
Well, hey, Coco.
Hi, Kenny.
First and foremost, I just want to say happy birthday. You just turned 25.
Oh, my God. Yes, 25.
You just had a birthday.
Yeah, I did.
Didn't know if I threw you off right there.
No, it's fine. I knew it was coming. Obviously, it's inevitable to continue to age. And this is a, you know, good old milestone that I was honestly not fully prepared for. But here I am. So,
you know, it's a great milestone. What did you do for your 25th? Where did you go?
So me and my friend Maria, we went to Catalina Island, where we spent the day there. We hung out on the beach. I got us some lounge chairs. We did a little walking around. We went to the shops and just had a really great time. And then went back into town the next day. So we stayed the night in Catalina. Then we went back to LA. Yeah, it was lots of fun. And then we went back to LA and I spent more time with Maria, and I kind of just like treated it like a vacation. I didn't really want to have anything like super planned. So, and some of my other plans kind of fell through for the second half of my trip. So I ended up staying in LA longer than I anticipated, and that's all right. I had a great time. Got to see an old friend, got to see my brother. My brother lives in Orange County. So he drove up, and, it was really great. Really great time.
It's really great. I always think for a good milestone, it's really fun to do something. I know the girls in my family, we always try to do something. When I turned 25, we went to New York, and that was so much fun. So I'm so glad that you got to go get away and just enjoy your 25th.
I know. I cannot believe I'm 25. And yeah.
So,
well, I haven't been to Catalina Island in 20 years, which is crazy. I was 5 the last time I went to Catalina Island. So it's literally been 20 years.
And did you go to the Catalina Wine Mixer?
Okay, I don't appreciate you making fun of me on the podcast.
No, I like always would, I would die. Like, I know that they now started doing like the Catalina Wine Mixer. So it's like part of me like would just love to attend one just to see if it's the same as Step Brothers.
I've only seen like first half hour of Step Brothers. I haven't watched it all the way through. So I didn't get that joke when you first said it to me. And then I Googled it and they did have one. So, but it was an honor of Step Brothers. It's not like Step Brothers based it off something real, you know?
Yes. Well, I wanted to, since, you know, you just hit this milestone of 25, I kind of wanted to bring up a topic that I wish I could have brought up to, you know, a therapist if I could have afforded one at the time. And that would just be, you know, what I like to call the quarter life crisis. So the quarter life crisis, I feel, is something that people don't really talk about. You know, we always hear about what a midlife crisis is. And in my opinion, I feel like the quarter life crisis is much worse.
Oh, good.
Oh, good. So, I mean, typically,
I think,
like, when
you know,
of, like,
wait, really quick, for your point, I think 25 is much worse for women than for men. I think the midlife crisis for men is worse.
No, I think 100%. You are correct. Yeah. Because, like, when we think of, like, the typical midlife crisis, it's like, so first, Oxford Dictionary, right, describes the midlife crisis as an emotional crisis of identity and self-confidence that can occur in the early mid-age, which is typically, like, 45, 60. So I definitely agree with you. Like, when you think of the typical signs of a midlife crisis, you think of, like, you know, your 50-year-old dad buying a red Camaro, whereas with women, it's more of like, that's usually when they're going through menopause and they're kind of like going through this transitional phase, right?
Mm-hmm.
But we kind of think of like what you said, men, their midlife crisis is so much worse than their quarter life crisis. Whereas I feel like women get the quarter life crisis, Well, it kind of sucks, I guess, for us women, because then we also have to go through menopause later in life. And that's just...
We just really got the short end of the stick on that one.
Yeah, we get the short end of the stick.
And honestly, and it's totally in line with what Oxford Dictionary says, because for women, the expectations and like figuring out yourself and all of that, we're expiring so much faster than men are. Like that whole thing about, you know, men look better when they're older, and, you know, women start to decline in looks after 25. And like for women, it's just, you should be married with kids and you should have your career all figured out. And it feels like such a milestone to us because we're thinking, oh my God, 5 years to 30, I'm supposed to already have like a 5-year-old by the time I'm 30, you know?
No, exactly. I mean, I remember being young and I was like, okay, I want my first kid at 24. And then my second kid, I would like at 26. And then my third and final kid, if I were to have a third kid, no later than 28, because 30 is geriatric, right? And here I am, 29. No kids whatsoever.
Two dogs.
And I have two dogs, and you're just like, wow, like, it's just crazy that you know, you're young and you're like, oh my God, I want this whole fairy tale thing or this and that, and I'm going to have this career and I'm going to have my kids at this time and I'm going to be this kind of mom and whatnot. And then life happens and you're like, oh, what happened to me? So reading up like on just like, okay, what is a typical like midlife crisis? Like, what are the signs of just midlife?
Right.
And what they say is feeling sad or lack of confidence, feeling unfulfilled, feeling bored or loss of meaning or purpose in life. And then you have the typical impulsive decisions like houses, cars, wild collectibles, etc.
Me with my Chanel purses.
Exactly. All of your Chanel purses.
Don't be hating. Kellys. They're gorgeous.
No, they're definitely, definitely gorgeous. But I think that this also fits like, because the quarter life crisis, when I went through my quarter life crisis, it was definitely like 25. But I think that you could also go through this earlier in life, like,
when you're
out of college, and that could be 21, 22. Oh,
yeah. Yeah. When you went through the 25th like birthday and you had your quarter life crisis, did you realize going through it you were having it, or did you have to do hindsight 2020? Like, you went through the mud and you came out and you were like, oh, that's what that was?
I would say definitely. I would say like a mix of both. Like at first it was just like a whirlwind, and then finally you're like, oh, this is a quarter life crisis. And I had never heard of a quarter life crisis. I personally just like, and I'm sure other people call it a quarter life crisis, but for me, I'm like, this is simply a midlife crisis. I'm in it way earlier than what's going on. And then I'm like, no, this is a real thing. Like, I know that I'm not the only person who was going through this. So for me, it was like...
And when you were 25, did you have Dom in your life yet or no? I forget.
I did. I met Dom when I was 23, 24. Mm-hmm. And so I would say I was probably going through it prior as well, but I was still like... learning more about myself. And I kind of think that that's what the quarter life crisis is you're going through all of these emotions while also still trying to figure yourself out. Mm-hmm. And so you just kind of feel like a brick on top of a brick on top of a brick. But I would say I was so lucky to have met Dom, because I think if I didn't have, you know, Dom in my life at that point too, I probably just would have continued spiraling and spiraling and spiraling, because mm-hmm. I didn't really have, you know, somebody to lean on at that time or kind of go through it.
Yeah.
So.
Great. What I think. Great. I have nobody in my life. It's fantastic for me.
Well, what's also like, I think, good about you, Colby, too, is like, you are very independent, right? And I think you have a strong idea of like what you want. Whereas like when I was going through it, you know, I was solely independent. I wouldn't say necessarily like that was my own doing, which it was, but it was just like, you know, I had to figure it out. And so, you know, I was working my job and like doing that, but then you're also seeing other people go to college and you're like, dang, should I, like, am I doing something wrong because I can't do that? Like, I can't put myself through that. And then I finally was able to, you know, through Starbucks, which was great. But then you also are like, wow, I'm doing this really late in life. Like, everybody else has graduated and started their, you know, professional careers. And you're like, okay, I'm definitely not there yet. So you just kind of feel like a little less than, right? Like, maybe, you know, like, you don't want to put stuff on social media. You don't want to, like, say different things. Or I remember I would get, like, kind of, like, embarrassed when I would just be like, oh, I work at Starbucks, mm-hmm. you know? And, like, I had a very, like, it was paying me very well. And I was getting great benefits. But it was just, like, you know, it's like, oh, you know, what's your careers? Oh, I work at Starbucks.
Yeah.
Hmm. You know, so it's kind of like you just start to get like career anxiety. And then I also think social media makes it so much worse because you're also seeing like maybe the people you went to high school with are getting married and you're like,
oh my God, yeah.
Right? Like I am not there yet. Or there's like they're having kids left and right. And you're like, I'm definitely not there yet. Like, what is going on? And then, yeah. Or they're buying houses and new cars. And you're like, how? Like, you, how are you doing that? And I think that's the worst part is you have all of these aspirations, but you have no money to get there. So you're like, I just felt like I was like in a constant spiral. Like, okay, I'm not where I want to be. So I was feeling less than, but you're like, okay, let me figure out how to put myself on this path and this track to get to where I want to be. But I have to be smart because I have no money to get there. And it's just like a constant, like, I think battle, you know, with yourself.
Yeah. Also like what you were just saying made me realize something I hadn't even fully thought about until right now, which is like, I never finished college. Like, I dipped out. I broke up with my long-term boyfriend after just shy of three years. And him and I, like, fully would have gotten married. Like, him and I were in it for, like, mm-hmm. the long haul. Like, honestly, like, the breakup kind of came out of nowhere. Like, it really was shocking to him. And we talked about marriage constantly. We talked about kids constantly. We knew, like, mm-hmm. we had a plan, you know? And it's like, if I had stayed on that path, I would probably be either engaged right now or I'd be full on married.
Yeah.
And living with someone and, like, not doing what I wanted to do. And also, I had a big thing about, like, I wanted to always be working. I wanted to always be, like making my career more and more and more. And I'm like, did that really put me ahead of anybody else? Because I'm looking around at like people I went to high school with or people I knew and, you know, previously or whatever. And they're kind of like still at the same corporate level that I am. Like I don't think I'm earning more than them. I might be. I don't know. But it feels like kind of like, did I make a decision to focus on my career and then still be at the same level as if I hadn't mm-hmm. made that decision?
No, exactly. And I think also too, like when you decided to break it off, was that, do you think like that was kind of like a start of a quarter life crisis? Or like, do you think that you've even started one?
I think the start of my quarter life crisis wasn't this year. I think it was actually 2020. I think the pandemic kind of really took my plans and threw them so mm-hmm. off the rails that it was impossible for me to see a future. Like, I literally was like, where do I go from here? What do I do now? I was not in a good space mentally. I was really struggling to find the motivation to get out of bed, to do mm-hmm. literally anything. And I did not have a support system at that time. Even though I did live with my parents at the time, like, it felt lonelier being with them because you're being ignored by them mm-hmm. all the time.
Yeah.
And they're just busy with their lives. So I was feeling like lonelier than ever. I had no physical touch whatsoever. And I was just feeling so, so lonely. And I just had no idea what I was doing. I didn't have a job. I quit my big time, big girl job. And the pandemic hit like, I don't know, like 2-3 months later, which is like, okay, that's great. I love that.
It's like one more extra stab, right? You're like, here's one. Oh. Here's the second one.
Yeah. And I'm like, should I even have quit? Like, should I just, like, obviously I couldn't foresee a pandemic hitting, but I'm like, if I had just stayed in that job, I could have then been paid to like be at home. Like the real struggle was like, I couldn't get a job. It was so hard to get a job at the very beginning of COVID. I was trying everything I could. I had no money. Like I literally had no money at that time. Yeah. And it was like, I was like, how am I going to make my car payment? I literally had to call Toyota and say, can I defer for a month?
Yeah.
And they were like, yeah, we're just going to have to extend your contract longer. And I was like, you know, sometimes you got to do what you got to do.
Oh, for sure.
And I had been making double payments like while I was working at my big time job. So I was kind of like, okay, this is fine because I was, you know, I was paying more when I had more money and now I don't have any money. So can we just like,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then now obviously like, I feel like I'm good again. Like money is just a weird topic because it kind of ebbs and flows and you don't really know where it's going to be. So. Mm-hmm.
No, but exactly like everything that you're saying.
But it's so anxiety inducing when you don't have it.
Mm-hmm.
I was really going through it. I was lonely. I was broke. I was gaining weight. Fat, lonely, and broke.
I love that you said fat, lonely, and broke. But like, no, that's exactly how I remember everything as well. Like, I mean, I still feel like I'm constantly like, you know, battling with different life crises. But especially when I was like in the midst of my quarter life crisis, like that's when I started to notice that like I had anxiety and that was happening. I also felt like I was depressed. And I'm assuming that I never, like I said, I couldn't afford a therapist. I am just assuming mm-hmm. based on looking back, like I was definitely depressed. I was gaining weight and I just was like going in a constant battle with like self-hate because, you know, I was just like in a constant battle with my own self. Like why am I not, you know, matching up to the others, or why am I not where other people are as well? So it was just kind of like, even though I was doing good and I was doing great things to like set myself up to where I am now, it was like I was being so mean to myself, like, but why are you not there yet? And I also think that that's why I would like start things like, okay, well, like I would love to start like a blog. And so I would go ahead and start it, but I would like never follow through. And so then that was like another thing where I'd be like, you always try to do these things, but you'll never follow through. So then it was just like a constant battle.
Yeah.
With yourself. And you're just like, okay, like, you know, where am I going now? Or I would also like, even though I had a great paying job with great benefits and they were, again, helping me throughout school, I would like continue to look up careers that I thought that I wanted and feel like I, you know, would love to do. But then I'd be like, oh, I'm not good enough for these because I'm not qualified for them. Or, you know, I don't have this type of experience. And then you're like, oh, did I just waste, you know, 5 years of my life, like doing this job where I could have been doing this to set myself up more. And you're just constantly like being mean to yourself where I'm like, girl, chill. Like now when I look back, I'm like, you know, this should be the time of your life, especially in your 20s, you know?
Yeah. And you know what else was hard was with my, when I was going through the period where I didn't have a job and I was trying to get a job. And I was at the point where I was like, I'm going to apply to like a store. Like I'm literally like a shop, like anywhere that's hiring, I'll work minimum wage. I was like, I just need to make my car payment, you know?
Yeah.
And because I had that really good job beforehand, it was on my resume, obviously. And I wasn't getting work because they're like, you're too qualified. That was like something I heard a couple of times was, we would love to hire you, but I think this job would be boring to you. Or I think like this job wouldn't be enough for you because you're overqualified. And I was like, okay, great. But I would like a job. And I don't care. And I don't care that I'm overqualified because obviously I know I am, but please.
Yeah. I'm just trying to make a car payment here.
Oh my God, yeah. I mean, I love my car and obviously I'm doing fine now with the payments, but I was really like, I was worried for a bit there. Anyway, so that was just a side note. But
No, and I think like, yeah, it's so hard because it's like we're trying to like, you know, do, you know, our mind is like racing. And like I said, I think that social media just makes it so much worse because not only are we seeing like the people we went to school with or, you know, people who we might idolize or like influencers, right? You're like, you know, how does it seem so easy for them? And also too, like, I mean, now looking back, it's like, yeah, we're going to put the best stuff on social media, right? Mm-hmm. But it's like, why is it so easy for them and not for me? You know, so it was just constant spiral. You're yeah. like constantly, you couldn't de-stress on Instagram because you're just reminded that you're not where you want to be at that moment in time, you know?
Mm-hmm. And I remember like the beginning of the pandemic when I was really going through it, I was just playing on repeat Vienna by Billy Joel. And I would just lay like on my bedroom floor, just blasting Billy Joel and just crying. Just being like, aww, you're doing fine.
I probably should have listened to that while I was going through my whole crisis.
Slow down, you're doing fine. You can't be everything before your time. What is the lyric?
I have no clue, but I know that, like, the rhythm.
It's just, like, it's, like,
you're doing fine.
Vienna's waiting for ya. You don't have to rush. So I gotta remember. But then I think about the Berlin Wall, and I'm, like, that came down. Those, like, people's life goals to go see the Berlin Wall one day, and then they took it down. So I think about that, too. And then I also think about, like, Kim Kardashian wasn't famous until she was, like, 26. So that makes me feel a lot better.
Until she was how old?
Like 26.
Okay, well, I'm 29.
Because she was still cleaning closets.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She's being booked for the wildest, like... Okay, so... definitely not there yet.
Courtney was 28, Kim was 27, and Chloe was 23 for season one.
Interesting. But I do think that, like, nowadays, like, now that does make me feel so much better because it's, like, even, like, Jeff Bezos, right? Like, he didn't start Amazon until he was, like, hexka old. Like, yeah, you know, it's just, that's the kind of stuff that I do think of now, like...
And I think, like, even Jeff Bezos, like, he was terrified that, I mean, maybe I'm just making this up, but I'm pretty sure he was scared that Amazon was going to fall during the dot-com boom.
Yeah. And I mean, even, like, going through my crisis, like, I still am very indecisive because I think I'm scared to make the wrong decisions because I don't ever want to, you know, make a wrong decision. And then that, like, puts me, like, more into my feelings, more into my crisis. But I will say, like, when I decided to take the leap to, you know, move here to the peninsula with Dom, that was, like, I think the start of me climbing out of my quarter-life crisis because I realized that, like, this is the time to take risks, you know? Like, this is when you're only going to be young, you know, for so long. And this is the time where, like, you need to be learning, that you need to take those risks, that, like, if anything falls, you need to learn how to, like, pick yourself up if something were to go wrong. And I think it was the best decision I ever made, but still, like, you know, that was kind of my realization, are like, it's fine to feel those feelings and it's going to be normal, but you're still young and mm-hmm. you have to take those chances. You have to take those risks.
Mm-hmm. So what I'm hearing is I need to move.
I wouldn't say move, but I think it's like, it's okay that you don't have those things right now that, like, you desperately want because they're coming. I think it's really pinpointing, like, okay, well, this is what you want. So, like, you know, how are you going to get there and take those risks? Like, for me, I think I was so indecisive and, like, not the most confident, right? To, like, continue the things that I would start. So then they would just kind of fall off. But it was like, once I decided, okay, I'm going to do something that I'm kind of uncomfortable with, like moving out of my hometown that, like, I was born and raised in, I was so comfortable in, like, I'm gonna put myself in an uncomfortable situation and, you know, figure it out. I'm so lucky, you know, that I had Dom that, like, was also there. Mm-hmm. But it was like,
it's like,
you know,
my big move out of the Bay risk. Like, I felt like,
yeah,
that was another thing, was just like, I moved out of the Bay Area, I broke up with my boyfriend, I was going through lots of life changes. So that was like a really big step too, because like I had never moved out of the Bay. Like I never moved away for like college. So moving out of the Bay Area, living in Santa Cruz really kind of changed a lot for me. And even then I was still like being so like, I really reject Santa Cruz, and I was still going, I was still going to the Bay all the time, and I still really miss the Bay, and I still don't like Santa Cruz that much, just because it's not really my vibe, but that was a big move too.
Like you moved to Santa Cruz, you know, because like, you know, your family was moving to Santa Cruz. And so I think like that's also something that can affect you, right? Because it's like you don't want to. You are being like kind of forced in a sense, right?
That was something else. Like when COVID first started, I was constantly thinking like, should I have done that? Like, should I have moved with my family to Santa Cruz, or should I have figured it out to live still in the Bay? Like, should I have like found like a roommate or something and done that? But I also didn't have a job at that time because like my sister just died. It was just a really hectic time for me. And I need to give myself some grace and say like, hey, you're going through so much. Like, there's no way you could have figured out like living on your own for the first time and not having the funds to do it. And also I didn't want to be away from my family. Like I'd never been away from them, and I just lost basically my arm, you know, like my sister and I
were like a huge part of your life. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was really hard on myself being like, why did I move to Santa Cruz? Like I never wanted to move to Santa Cruz. Why did I do that? Mm-hmm. Like I should have figured it out. But I'm like, now I'm reflecting and I'm like, we're going through so much, and you were a kid. Like, you were a freaking child. Like,
yeah.
Like, you were 19. Like, that is like barely an adult. Like, you're still a teenager. Like, and I was like, why was I beating myself up so much? And I just think sometimes like my life trajectory could have gone in such a different direction, but now I'm like, would it even have been better? Like, you don't know.
No. And I think too, like, we have to give ourselves graces, because like, it's okay to not know like what path you're going to take just yet, or like feeling as though you took the wrong life path. Because I do feel now looking back, like whatever path that you take right now is going to lead you to the right path eventually. It's just like, what do we have to learn in this moment in time, you know? And what do we have to get comfortable with? What do we have to experience? Like, what sights do we have to see on this path to finally get to, you know, where we want to be and where we want to go, essentially? No, I definitely agree. Like, I would look back and be like, I mean, still sometimes I'm a little sad that like I never went off to college and got to experience, like you said, like the dorms and
me too. I never experienced
what like Rush
that.
Was like, I still think about that. And and I also think like it is, you know, it is kind of sad too. I remember when I, you know, did graduate from ASU and we had like a grad party. Like, even my uncle, he's so sweet, but he's like, he had made like a slideshow of my cousin and like his college, because we graduated around the same time. And he was like, basically like, I'm so sorry, like you didn't get to also experience these things, which was really sad too. Cause you're like,
I was like, I would have cried.
No, I was like, I mean, I still kind of tear up thinking about it, because it's like, no, like he's exactly right. You know, he's like saying how proud he is, because it's like, you did all of this yourself and like, go for you. But he's also like, I'm so sorry that like you didn't get to experience this side of college, you know?
I'm just thinking like, you would have loved college so much. Like, I think you would have loved it more than I would have. Like you would have just...
No, yeah, I still think like, oh my God, like, you know, would I have loved my roommate? Or like, what would my dorm style be? And like,
you just would have been like such like roommate? A little like social butterfly, and you would have just made like lifelong friends. And like, it makes me sad thinking that you missed that. Like, I missed it too. And I'm more sad that you missed it.
But like too, I think back and it just like, but you know, yes, I would have loved those, but like, how lucky is it that like I was able to go to school and like I have no student loans now, you know? And that's because I stayed on this path and like, you know, I got to experience different things. And I think it's, you know, they say like, you make plans and God laughs or whatever. I truly believe that like what we experience here is like what we're supposed to, and like the path that we're taking, like, you know, we're supposed to experience these things because, you know, for some like, lesson that we need to learn or like something that, you know, so it's just kind of like, no matter the path that you're taking, especially when you're so young and in your 20s, like go ahead and take those risks. Like, go down that danger road. Like, it will still, like, you'll still have a good outcome and it will still lead you to the right path. But, like, this is the time to take risks because, you know, as we get older, like, we're not going to be able to do so. And we have to be okay with that.
Mm-hmm. So, what is some advice that you would like to give me for my 25th year? And, like, a challenge. Do you have a challenge for me?
Yeah, I mean, maybe. So, my challenge is, one, to try to be kind to yourself. Because...
Oof. It's hard. That is a real challenge.
I know. But I think, like, for me, like, I wasn't. That's what, like, kept me spiraling and kept pushing me down. And, like... in like that, I got trapped in that whirlwind. So, like, be kind to yourself and take those risks and follow through. Don't compare yourself to what other people are doing or where other people are at in life, because we all don't live the same life. But what I do know about you, Coco, is
me?
That, yes, that I think you truly do know what you want in life. So now's the time, baby.
Yeah. And I feel like I'm doing things behind the scenes. I can't talk about a lot of stuff mm-hmm. that I'm doing right now, mm-hmm. but I'm making moves. I think that's also why right now I don't really feel so lost. Like, I know, like what you're saying, like, quarter life crisis made me feel so lost, but I don't feel super lost at this moment because I am kind of really leaning into a trajectory that I know I would be happy with.
No, you definitely are.
Yeah. And I wasn't at that point 3 years ago. So...
no. And I think, like, I did really want to bring up quarter life crisis too at this point, because, like, not that I want to save you from a quarter life crisis, because I think you're going to go through it, you know, no matter what. It just depends on, like, how long. But it's like, you definitely are making moves and you do know what you want. And it's like, keep it going. And just remember, like, this is the time. And if you mm-hmm. can follow through on things that you want to do that I never could have, like, by all means, girl, like, now is the time. And you have so many people who are like, Colby Page, we got you.
Yeah, I think it's crazy. Like, also, I have such a strong support system right now. Like, I can't believe, if you had told me 3 years ago, one of your support systems is going to be your boss, I would have been like, you're lying.
Oh my God, yeah.
Like, I literally would have been like, that's just not true, because I've never had a boss that is so cheering me on the sidelines, so hardcore, like, you got this.
Mm-hmm.
So that's crazy.
Which I think is very hard to find, very hard to find. So it's
a rarity.
Like, you are definitely, like, on a very good path, and, like, I'm, like, jealous, and I'm like, dang, Colby, like, I wish I was like this at 25. Like, you are on a very, very good path. And, like, I truly do think that you are, like, an old soul. So I feel like even when you're talking about, like, 3 years ago when you kind of, like, were going through different things and breaking up, like, I think that was kind of, like, maybe a start of your crisis. But I'm like, you truly do are, like, you know what you want and you are going to get there. And you're just so determined that I'm like, yes, stay on that path and remember to try to be kind to yourself and not compare, because, like, I am truly, like, rooting. I'm like, you need to stay on this path. Take these risks while you can. Heck, if that means move mm-hmm. to, I don't know, Ethiopia, screw it. Like, take whatever risk beans. That you...
Ethiopia.
Just take whatever you need, whatever risk you need to take at this moment in time. But, like, stay yeah. on that, stay on those good paths.
Like what you were saying earlier about the midlife crisis, that's anywhere between 45 to 60. So that's like a full, like, 15 years where you could be mm-hmm. going through the crisis. So mine just happened to start 3 years earlier than the average 25-year-old. But I also think, like, my whole life, I've always had to age faster than everyone else. Mm-hmm. That's yeah. also why I feel like I was always really shy and quiet growing up. And I never felt like I fit in. Like, I never really felt like I had my own, like, community, because I think I was always about 5 years ahead than I
yeah.
had been, just because of, like, I kind of, like, had to be my biggest support system at, like, 7 years old. So,
yeah.
And that's just because my family, like, they just couldn't care for me the way that I needed. And that's not saying, that's no shade to them. That's simply because no. my sister was so sick for so long.
Yeah.
Like, that was
there
taking
was a lot going on.
All of their energy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like they did the best they could. And I think just like as I am as a human, I need more love and attention than the average person. So it kind of just sucked that I got less than I would've
But you were also like, you had to, yeah, essentially like you kind of had to grow up fast because you were also helping, you know, like you were the one who also had to step up being the younger sister as well, you know? So it kind of puts you like you did kind of have to age faster. So now I'm like, you know,
I always had to age faster and I was always kind of treated more like an adult at a younger age by like my family members, because I was like, I just wasn't someone you had to worry about ever. I was always such like a little like goody two shoes. Like I always did what I was told for the most part, except for like chores. But like homework. I wasn't really great at homework, but like I wasn't really someone. I was kind of just left alone. I was left to do whatever I wanted to do, which it's not like I was starting fires in the backyard, you know, like I was just watching TV. So I didn't really have, no one really had to worry about me. So I was left alone a lot. And then like going to high school treats you like such children. And I felt like I had more freedom in middle school. Like I felt like my high school, maybe it's just my high school, I just felt like I was treated like I couldn't be trusted. Like I always felt like I was like, and I just feel like that's the way the school treats all students. Like you can't be trusted. You're not allowed to have your phone. Like you're not allowed to go to the bathroom. Like the fact that there was teachers telling me that I could only use the bathroom twice a semester. Like that was like, I literally had bathroom coupons. Yeah. Like I literally had bathroom coupons, like all this stuff. Like that's why I felt like I had to leave after sophomore year. And that's why I went to middle college and then eventually independent studies. Cause even middle college was still too high school for me. Because I had always been treated like an adult until high school. Then I was treated like a child. And I just wasn't, I was like, I'm above this. Like maturity wise, I was above it. And then I think I just never slowed down. I think my whole life I've always been just like 5 years ahead. And that's why I hit my midlife crisis a little bit sooner. And I feel like I might have hit it maybe a little bit like closer to this age. But I think COVID like put like a halt like to like my whole life, and it was like put me on the brakes so hard that I was crashed into a midlife crisis or quarter life crisis.
But part of me feels like that might have ultimately been a blessing to you, because like you're aging faster, but then it's also like, I mean, you know, I hit mine around 25, and the fact that you're like coming out of it essentially around 25 is like blessings.
And I'm so grateful that when I was like in the thick of it, I had a therapist. I don't have one right now, but when I did have one, when I did have a therapist and I was going through all everything, I was able to talk all this through with her. And one thing, like talking about like COVID specifically, like really halting my life, we were just like talking about it, and I got to a point where I was like, I feel like I'm sitting at a stoplight. Like I feel like the light is red and it is not changing, and all I'm doing is just sitting here waiting for it to turn green, and I keep getting rear-ended while waiting at this stoplight. And that's how I felt.
No, that's honestly such a good analogy. But I do like what you said too, is like I was never one to like really talk about my feelings in that instance as well. Like I, you know, maybe I could have afforded a therapist at the time, but by no means would I have like gone through with that, because I was like, no, like you're just being dramatic, or no,
it's this. Also
like,
so hard to find a good therapist.
Yeah. And I would always like keep it to myself. So I guess that's also another thing that I would suggest is like, you know, if you can afford a therapist, like that's a good route. But if not, like find people that you could talk to about the things that you're experiencing, because I think that you'll realize that you're not alone and that it's normal. And, you know, I think that you guys could also like bounce back on each other as being a support system.
Yeah.
So, yeah, now, you know, it's like, you know, I still go up and down all of the time. I have different crises all the time, but I'm so much more kinder to myself. And I think just realizing that, you know, life is an ebb and flow, and that you just have to constantly like check and adjust. And like, again, things are going to be fine.
Everything is always going to be A-okay.
A okay. And that you're going to love the life that you live. Like, I'm so happy with where I am now. And, like, I'm about to get married. And, you know, it's like I've always wanted to be a mom. So, like, that hopefully, you know, hopefully, like, that is, I mean, I see that in my card. So it's like, doesn't seem like it's too far of a reach.
Mm-hmm. And it's really not. I think, so.
No. And like, you know, it's like I was able to check things off, maybe not in the time that I wanted to. And maybe it took me a little longer, but I still did it. And, you know, it's like, and then I took the other risk, right? Of like quitting my job and getting a new job that I knew nothing about. And like, again, look where I am now. Look who I met. Coco, I met Coco there, and like now look at my life. You know, I have a best friend, we have a podcast, like we're definitely doing things. And if I never took those risks, I might still be depressed and like keeping it all to myself.
Yeah, I feel like I'm okay with like change, and I feel like I'm okay with change. I'm not okay with like big risks. Like that really scares me.
But you got to take them. And you are like, you know, you are you're coming up to some risks and you're taking them. So, and just remember you have so much support behind you and lots of support systems.
Yeah.
So keep it going, girl. 25 is, I think it could be a very great year for you, honestly.
I hope to God it is, because I'm ready. I'm ready for a good year. I feel like 24 was not awful. It kind of felt a little mundane, but overall it was a good establishing year. It was good for the plot.
It was good for
exposition.
The plot. And that's why I think 25 is going to be, it's going to be great, whether it is still continuing to like build up the plot or show us a little bit more.
We'll see. We'll see where it goes. I also feel like nowadays I'm more inclined to just do things I want to do, while previously I always felt like I was doing stuff for other people. Well, like now I'm like, I want to do this, so I'm going to do it. Like if I want to fly to Florida, who knows? Maybe I'll just fly to Florida.
And keep that same energy. Honestly, keep it.
Yeah. Wow. 25. I honestly didn't think I was going to make it to 25, but here I am.
But here we are. And like I said, you know, I think it's going to be a good one yet. So I hope that this year continues.
Why do we put so much pressure on a number? Like, why as a society are we like, oh my God, 25? Like, that's such a big number. Because in the scheme of things, you've only been a real adult for like 4 years, because I feel like you're not even like a full adult until you're 21. You're still like a kid. So like in adult years, you're still a little baby. Why is 25 such a big number?
And I think it's like, I mean, I kind of think it goes back to like in the day, right? Like my nanny got married at like 21. Like she was already married, had a kid, everything by 21 years old, right? And so I think we also have all this pressure where it's like, you need to go to college and know exactly like, okay, you graduated in finance. Like, what's your finance job? Like, you should have a job right out of college. And do you have a wife yet? Because you should be marrying that college girlfriend that you had and like starting to have a baby. Like, I think it's just like we are so, like we just continue to have like, oh, well, this is what my parents did. And they did that because that's what their parents did. And so it's just kind of like lost, especially like when people are like, a baby yet? Are you going to do this yet? Or like, you know, like when you were single, it's like, you got a man yet? Like, it's like, no, I'm trying to do me right now. You know, when I would go through those, like, I remember, like I would talk to my brother and he would be like, mom had me at 30, like 31. Could you see me with a kid right now? And I'm like, well, no, but like, it's different when you're a girl, right? Because it's also too, like,
it time's
really
ticking.
Still is technically like, exactly. Yeah. And it really is like, I think 35 is considered a geriatric pregnancy, where I'm like, okay, one, that's wild. But two, science has matured so much to where, like, you know, didn't Janet Jackson just have a kid at like 45? Or like, I don't know how old she was, but like,
I did not know that, but go Janet.
Very late. Yeah, she had a kid like very late. And it's like, you know, I mean, yeah, I'm sure you have a lot more risks and stuff, but I think science and medicine, like, it'll all be okay.
It's just interesting that like 25 is an age where you have to start considering all that stuff. Like you have to start reframing your ideas, because like when I was a kid, I for sure thought I was going to be married with kids by now, but
right,
I'm not.
But what I will
say, I also feel like I did raise a child with my little brother.
But what I kind of like now about the new wave, and I think like the Gen Zs also, and I'm sure the millennials also started this, but like they're really emphasizing to not live by those rules. And like, you know, we're seeing people like live out of vans and like doing what they want to do. And they're like, 30 is nothing. Like, it's nothing to be scared of. And like, you don't need to have all of this put together. So I'm really liking that, because I feel like, because when I say like social media made it so much worse for me back in the day, now it's like, I would probably have a different experience because people are making it okay. People are sharing their opinions and their stories.
I wonder if the 2007 recession did like really set us up to have this like age change, because I saw a TikTok today where it was like, oh, I just started rewatching Gilmore Girls and Lorelai is 32 in season one. So
no way.
Yeah. And then I saw a comment that said early 2000s 32 is different than modern day 32. And it's so true. I really do think it was the recession. I think the 2007 crash affected the way Americans start their careers, start their families. I mean, obviously the whole storyline of Lorelai was that she was like 16 when she had Rory, but whatever.
Yeah.
But I mean, still, I always thought of Lorelai as like at least 35. I always thought of her like so old when I watch Gilmore Girls, but it's literally like 3 years away from you.
Yeah. And how old was Rory when season one? She like was like
14, 15.
A teenager, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Could you imagine me with a 13-year-old? Like, no.
What I'm trying to say is I just think the 2007 recession, one good thing that came out of it was the fact that we're reframing the idea of when we start our lives and when we have families and all this stuff. And with science, so like you said, we're able to push it even farther out. So
no, you're so, I think you're so correct. I never thought of that, but no, I think you're right. Because like people had to really live by their means at that point. They really had to figure out lots of stuff that they thought that they would have never had to figure out in the past. So I think you're right. And I think people started to embrace it.
Yeah, people embraced it. And people are like, you know, maybe I don't want a kid. Like I was kind of told I had to have a kid, but maybe I don't want kids. And like, you're able to have that option if you want it or not. So
yeah.
And I feel like pre-2007, it was like, obviously you're gonna have kids. Why wouldn't you have kids?
Mm-hmm. No, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that is all I have to say about quarter life crisis. That's my experience with it. And, you know, you being 25, I am so excited for your next chapter in life. And
I kind of want like you to like give me like a monthly challenge, like one thing to do a month for my 25th year.
Okay. So I do have a challenge for you, Colby, that I would like you to do once a month.
Okay. Let's hear it.
You ready?
I'm ready.
I want you to do something once a month that makes you uncomfortable.
Ooh.
Ooh. Yeah.
Okay.
I want you all to do something that could be, I mean, it could be high risk. It could be low risk. It could be in public. It could not be, you know, but just something that makes you just a little uncomfortable. But, you know, something to, maybe it could be something where, like, you've always wanted to, you just never, like, had the guts, you know what I mean? Or, like,
okay,
just something that makes you a little uncomfortable. If you'd like to share, I would love to know. But if you don't want to, it's totally fine.
Okay, yeah. All right, all right. I will accept your challenge, and I will add it to my calendar.
Go ahead. It could be the first of every month. It could be the last day of every month. It could be mid-month. It could be random, but one thing that just makes you just a little uncomfortable.
Okay, I like it. I like it a lot. It's good. I had a friend, he was doing a whole year where each month he had a new challenge for himself. And he had one month where he's like, no alcohol for the month. And then he just like stopped drinking because he's like, this is fine. And then like one was like, he had to learn how to paint and like all this stuff. So
yeah, something. And I think, you know, like, sometimes I feel like a month seems so short, but sometimes it is really long. And I think it could just be like, maybe it's something at the top of your mind. You're like, you know, I really want to do this. Let's say it's like acting class, or like maybe I want to do like a stand-up thing. I don't know. Those are kind of out there. But maybe those you want to do an big open ones, mic night.
I feel like. Oh, my God. Open mic night is huge. That is a gigantic one.
That's a huge one, right? Or maybe it's like... maybe it's like if we go back to the bookstore guy, it's like maybe you finally see him and like you shoot that shot. You know what I mean? Oh, or like gosh. Maybe it's
that would make me so uncomfy. Like
very, very mild. I can't think of a mild one right now, but I would.
Well, I accept your challenge and I am on it. I will be doing something starting this August. I'm gonna do something that makes me uncomfy.
Yes, do something that makes you uncomfy. If you would like to share, I would love to know. But overall, I think that you are off to a great 25th. You are going to kill it this year. And, you know, if things do ever come arise, you have a great support system. But just know that, like, now's the time to take risks. And you got this.
Now's the time to take risks, because if you don't take them now, you're going to always ask yourself, like, what if? Or worst case, you end up getting a really high paying job at like a dream company and then you leave it because you've always wondered what if on something else, and you're going to take the risk then, and it's way more of a risk than it is now.
Exactly. Right now, things might seem like a high risk, but really in the scheme of life, it's low risk right now. And you have so much more time to bounce back if need be, if it's super high risk. But you got this.
What's that quote where it's like, but what if I YOLO? Fall? And it's like, yeah, that one. That one. It's, but what if I fall? And it's like, oh, but darling, what if you fly?
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Because you never know. Like, and I think that, mm-hmm. that's truly it. Like, you're just so scared of falling, but you might fly.
You might fly.
And if at first you don't succeed, get yourself up and try again.
Is that a song? What's that?
Yes. Yeah. If at first you don't succeed. Get yourself up and try again.
What song is this? I don't know this song.
Succeed?
Succeed. Oh my God, you missed it on Thursday at work. Craig, our boss, was just blasting Nelly the whole day.
Stop.
And then he's like, oh no, this is perfect for your intro. You just need to make your intro song just this Nelly bit. And it was the beginning where it's like, welcome to Nelly Town.
Oh my
he's
God.
He's like, well, everyone gets like... half a million. Everyone born gets half a million.
Oh, and he was sorry, go ahead.
Well, he was just like, this needs to be the intro to your podcast. And I was like,
oh, he wanted it for the podcast. I'm thinking intro strategy.
No. So
like, you just intro. Walk up like, beans don't burn in the kitchen.
I thought they don't burn on the grill.
Oh.
But he's like, no, this is perfect for your podcast. Get rid of that one you have right now. And I was like, we have full rights to that one. We don't have rights to Nelly. And then he was like, well, get rights. And then I said, how about you bring this up with Kendall and she'll decide.
My thought is we can't afford therapy at the moment. There's no way I can afford Nelly.
Maybe Nelly needs it. He needs the money. He'll take anything.
No, I think he's doing some like country stuff right now.
Oh, is he? Good for Nelly. Wow.
Good for Nelly.
Hope Nelly's still balling.
The song that I was singing is, it's called Try Again by my girl Aaliyah, R.I.P. But yeah, it's a great song. You should listen to it. The lyrics are, and if at first you don't succeed, then dust yourself off and try again. Try again. You can dust yourself off and try again.
All right.
The famous words of Aaliyah.
It's beautiful. It's poetry. I had some anxiety about like the 25th thing, but after really talking it out, I'm like, you know what? Don't have anxiety anymore. Because no, I really have lived so much already that you reminded me I could handle all that stuff back then. I can handle whatever's thrown at me.
Exactly. Exactly. So you got this. This has been so fun. And I'm so glad that, you know, I could finally talk about my quarter life crisis with someone and hopefully like lead you on a path that doesn't bring you down that major spiral.
Yeah. I'm tired of spiraling because I spiral a lot. I feel like
getting real dizzy, huh?
I have vertigo. Alrighty. You know, Hitchcock and I have the same birthday. Side note. Love that for us.
Who?
The famous director, Alfred Hitchcock.
Oh.
He directed a movie called Vertigo set in San Francisco.
Oh, okay.
So that's what made me think of Hitchcock. And Alfred Hitchcock and I have the same birthday. He was born August 13th, 1899, and I was born 1997. So we're so close to exactly 100 years apart. Isn't that crazy? Yeah.
You're just 2 years off.
Yeah. And they say a great was born once a century, so.
I mean, it pans out.
The math is mathin'.
It's mathin' for sure.
But yeah, I feel all like that's right. A pretty cool birthday to share with a celebrity.
It definitely is.
So I win at life.
Yeah, I can't think of a good celebrity that I share my birthday with, so.
We'll check later. Kylie Jenner's birthday is August 10th, 1997, so she's 3 days older than me.
Interesting. Yeah, you guys are definitely very strong Leos. August Leos, you know what I mean? All right, well, this has been just amazing. Just amazing.
I feel so relaxed. I feel like I took a Xanax.
Yeah, honestly, yeah.
I just feel so like cozy. I'm in a really comfy chair. I got to have a good old chat with you, my favorite thing to do. So.
Exactly. Thank you. Thank you.
I feel refreshed. So I feel good. I feel a lot better than I did starting out.
Good. Well, like I said, this is going to be the best year yet. So you got this.
I got this.
All right. Well, love ya.
Love ya.
Bye.
Bye. Okay.